Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
What do you love? Some of you are thinking, who do you love? Same. What do you love? Who do you love? When I think of that title, a song comes to mind from back in Zimbabwe when I was in grade 3. And it used to go a little something like this. My Bible. And then everyone goes, my Bible and I. My Bible. My Bible and I. Oh, what a wonderful treasure God gave without measure. We are traveling together. My Bible and I. Oh, what a wonderful treasure God gave without measure. We are traveling together. My Bible and I. Come on, we've got the Word. We have the Bible. What do you love? I love the Word of God. It is alive. It is alive. Some churches will sit there and stand and sing my Bible before they get into the Bible because they love the Bible. God's Word is our foundation. Do you guys love the Bible?
Yes.
Come on. It's our foundation. Did you know that song? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit and I. Oh, what a wonderful treasure God gave me that measure. We are traveling together. My Jesus and I. Oh, welcome to Zimbabwe. God's everywhere. So, we're talking about the Word. 2 Timothy in my Bible and your Bible, chapter 3, says this. 2 Timothy, it's on the screen. Anyone else knew that song? Tendai knows it. Now you know it. Maybe every time I preach, I'll be starting with that song. So, Timothy, Paul speaking to Timothy, and he says, but understand this, mark this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Who's Jannes and Jambres and Jannes and Jambres? Goes back to Exodus. When the plagues were happening and Moses had the staff and he was turning the staff into a serpent, and there was these two magicians, Jannes and Jambres, thought they could do the same thing. They did the same thing, but before you know it, Moses' staff was eating up their staff and their snake. So it goes back to those guys being false teachers and trying to do what God was doing. But before they knew it, they were going to Pharaoh. Now, these guys are the real deal. Their God is a true God. So that's who Yannis and Jambres. I'll stop there because I will not be coming back to Yannis and Jambres anytime today. So they were exposed. Let's just go straight to verse 10. You, however, Timothy, you, however, Pneuma South, you, however, children of God, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Paul was persecuted, but he says, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, as for you, Pneuma South, as for you, child of God, as for you, Michael, as for you, James, as for you, Nadine, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture is breathed out by God. Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, equipping you and I to be complete and equipped for every good work. What do you love? I love you too, babe. My wife loves me. I love her. That's good. It's a good thing, isn't it? Imagine if she loved me and I didn't love her. What do you focus your time on? What takes your focus? What takes your devotion? What do you invest in? What do you invest your emotions into? What do you invest your time? What are you intentional about? What are you deliberate about? What do you love? What do you love? To love is to have affection, strong affection for something, for someone, is to be a friend of something, to be a friend to something, to be fond of someone, of something, to be devoted. We might all have different histories with love, but to some extent we know or have an idea of what love is. Even if it hasn't been a great story, we all want to be loved. What do you love? We were created to love and we were created to be loved. When we get into 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but understand this, mark this, know this, that in the last days there will be difficulty. What is he talking about? The last days. What are these last days? And when will they come? And all the end times people said, amen. See, in the Bible, when you see the last days, it's talking about the time from when Jesus ascended, and the Holy Spirit came, between that time and the time that Jesus is coming back. Those are the last days. We've been in the last days since the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt it's intensifying. It's getting darker. So it's so easy for us to go, oh, so what do you ever got to freak out about the last days? It's been like 2,000 years. But Jesus said, I will come like a thief in the night. So we all need to be alert. We all need to be ready. But we don't need to be afraid of the last days. So he says, but in the last days. If you go to Isaiah 2 verse 2, he talks about the last days. You go to Joel chapter 2, 28, he talks about, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit. And then that same scripture is mentioned on the great outpouring in Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 20, talks about Peter's just received the Holy Spirit like never before. And he declares in the sermon, and God declared that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Women shall prophesy. Men shall prophesy. All shall prophesy. We are in the last days. It talks about in Revelations. So in this difficult, perilous times that we're in, Paul's talking to Timothy about it. There's a lot of false teaching we talked about a few weeks ago that was happening at that time. There's a lot of false teaching about God and the kingdom in the world around us. There can even be false teaching within the church amongst us. But God has given us the word. God has given us the word. And here we have Paul speaking to Timothy saying, but understand this, that in these last days, there's going to be people like this. You don't want to be like those people. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to become that person. And you need to avoid such people. What do those people look like? What do they love? What do you love? He gives 19 characteristics of what those people, of what even we can look like, even in the church. He's not talking about the lost people. He's actually talking to Timothy about the Christians. But he's also addressing things out in the world. So what are some of those 19 characteristics? How many minutes do we have, Pastor Steve? I'm just going to summarize them into two main categories. And the first one is lovers of self. He says, but understand this, first one, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Lovers of self. He says, there will be lovers of money. But, mate, what do you mean? What's wrong with being lovers of self? Isn't it healthy to love yourself? The kind of love he's talking about here is the unhealthy kind of love for self. He's talking about selfishness. He's talking about being self-centered. What do you do? Think about, what do you do for those people that you love? When you love someone, what do? The other day, when you love someone, you want to know them. You know them well. You want to get to know them more. And you want to know what pleases them. Then you want to make them happy, don't you? You do. So the other day, my wife and I were going on the long weekend to Geelong. Actually, Torquay, and we're going past Geelong. If you know our boys, they love footy. Our first one is 8. He loved footy from, you'd think, birth, but maybe more age of two. He's been kicking the footy then. Right now, he's actually kicking a footy. He's not at church. We can talk about that later. But his brother's now 5, and he's caught on to the buck. They love football. So we're there driving to Torquay. My wife, Candace, says, babe, let's surprise the boys. Let's stop off at Cadinia Park because Geelong is our family team. We love it. She doesn't love it. Talk about what do you love. She does not love the football. But I feel for her. Let's pray for her because she's got 3 men in her house who love the football. Daddy, can I watch the highlights? Mom, can I watch every morning? Can I watch the highlights? Mate, there was no game yesterday. Forget it. But we're driving. So she said, let's surprise the boys and let's stop off at Cadinia Park and just look at the shop because there's a shop there with all the footy stuff. Maybe you might get like a sale or something. So we're walking there. The boys are excited. And I'm just thinking, oh, man, we're just going to go find some stuff in the shop. All good. Anyway, as we're walking, we see Tom Hawkins. Or I see Tom Hawkins. Who's Tom Hawkins? He's one of the greatest players in the Geelong club at the moment. Kicks like hundreds of goals. I think he's up to almost 900 goals. I'm not sure in his career. But I see Tom Hawkins about 10 meters away. He's walking into the stadium or into the store. And I said to Candace, the boys are a bit ahead. I say, oh, there's Tom Hawkins. She's like, babe, who's Tom Hawkins? What are you doing, babe? We should get a photo. I'm like, babe, just chill. Like, he's gone.
It's like, oh, babe, like, seriously, can you go to the car, get the boy's footy book and the footy cards and a pen? And the boy's like, oh, Dad, yeah, that'd be great. Like, come on, let's. I'm like, these guys are working. Like, we don't want to bother them. Am I thinking about the boys or am I thinking about myself? Anyway, we're in the store. I'm like, ah, these guys are just doing their thing. Anyway, a few Geelong players start walking around, coming down. I didn't know who they were. They're not the big ones. And Ken's like, babe, can you keep an eye out? She's not playing. Can you keep an eye out? Because I don't know the players. If you see someone, tell me. I'm like, babe, I'm not. She goes, you talk to them. I'm like, I'm not talking to them. Anyway, next thing, the captain of the Geelong Football Club starts walking down. He's just with his bag. He's going home. She's like, who's that? I'm like, she didn't even get to hear me say Patrick Dangerfield. She's just running, babe! And the boys, I'm like, Zay, you are the one that likes footy. You talk to him. I don't need to talk to him. He's like, dad. Anyway, Patrick Dangerfield is already outside. I'm going, oh, I'm just coming. By the time I see him, he's turning around. And in my eyes, he's going, oh, not again. What do you want? That's what I'm seeing. The boys are just standing there. And Candace is getting a photo, a camera out. And Patrick is like, oh, boys, I don't bite. Don't be shy. Come. They get a beautiful photo. Where's the photo? There's the photo. And I'm like, hey, Danger. Hey, Danger. Oh, thanks, Danger. Yeah. And the boys were so happy. But here's me. I love my kids. But I don't want to embarrass myself. But she loves her kids and she knows what makes them tick. And she's going for it. What do you love? Lovers of self. Lovers of self. In the last days, you will have a misplaced love. That's what this is talking about. A misplaced love. We can love football so much and worship football. We can love ourselves so much that all we see is what I want, what I need. So it talks about here being lovers of self and putting our love, our focus on the wrong thing. That could be money. So let's go through those characteristics. It says, for people who be lovers of self, lovers of money. What's wrong with money? Money is not a bad thing. Money is not evil. But the word says that the love of money is the root of all evil. We can get so stuck in our careers just trying to get money to serve self. We can hide behind, oh, I want to do it for my kids. I want to do it for this. But actually, it's self-ambition. And money can actually take God's place in our lives. So it's not money that's the problem. It's the love of money. It says, they will be proud, arrogant. I've got this. I don't need anyone. I don't need help. I've got this. I'm self-made. It says abusive in verse 2. People will be abusive. People will be abusive verbally. People will be abusive physically. Abuse, where does that even come from? Abuse comes from you and I not knowing the purpose of something. If I don't know the purpose of my wife and all I'm thinking about is me, I'll end up abusing her in some way. If I don't know the purpose of my employees and all I'm thinking about is me, I just want my way, I'm self-centered. Abuse, where purpose is not known, Rick Warren said this, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So when people are lovers of self, all they're thinking is me. And abuse happens. It says disobedient to their parents, and all everyone with children, especially teenagers, says amen. In the last days, people will be disobedient to their parents. They'll be ungrateful. They'll be unholy. To be unholy, it's pretty much to not be devoted to God. Holiness is being separated to God, being set apart for God. But in the last days, there'll be people who are unholy. Lovers of self. They're lovers of self. But didn't God actually say, you got to love yourself? Doesn't the Bible say that somewhere? Love yourself. What's that? What does it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 40, talking about what's the greatest commandment? It doesn't say love yourself above everything else. We can use that as an excuse sometimes. I'm just having me time. I just need to love myself. How do you love yourself without others around you? Because when you actually isolate yourself, usually you actually have to tell someone that you're going to do that. You're actually withholding. You actually can't just love yourself and isolate yourself for too long. Because we are around people. So when you isolate yourself because you just want to love yourself, you're actually not loving others. The word says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you got to do both. Yes, there's a time for everything, but it's actually both. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yes, God will show you how to love yourself. Yes, you receive love from the Lord. Know what love looks like, and then you can give it out. But sometimes we can actually use that as an excuse to be selfish and self-centered. Oh, I'm just loving myself. I've got to know how to love myself first. You got to do both. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you love yourself at the expense of others? Do you love yourself at the expense of others? You see, love, someone said, love is benefiting others at the expense of self. But lust is benefiting yourself at the expense of others. Do you love yourself at the expense of others? When I'm trying to get my way, who am I actually stamping over? Who is it costing? God has paid for the expenses. I've got to love myself at His expense because He's already paid for it all. He's paid for it all. He's paid for it all. He's paid for it all. So He's paid for us to receive His love because there was a gap that came because of sin. So God's paid for it all. But just because He's paid for it all doesn't mean we're done. Doesn't mean there's no cost to pay. The cost to pay is actually giving all of ourselves. Lovers of self, we're actually called to deny self. The Christian walk is about denying yourself. It's about taking up your cross. Jesus said, if you want to come and follow me, you need to take up your cross daily. So we got to let Him love us, but then we've got to actually love others in the process. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Lovers of self. So just imagine, you're just so focused. I'm just focused on loving myself. It's all about me. I've got to get my way. See, when you love someone so much, you want to please them. You know what pleases them. So if you love yourself so much, then you want to please yourself. That's how we become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Because lovers of pleasure, that's the other category we've got. Lovers of self, we've got lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure is when all we have is our outcome in mind. What I want. I'm not thinking about what everyone else wants. I'm just thinking, I got to get it. I need it. How am I going to get it? How are we going to make it happen? Get out the way. Move. Because I need to get me what I got to get me. And that's where self-control is out the door. Because we're just going for what we need. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So it says these people will be without self-control. Because they just want pleasure. So they're going to do what they need to do to get that pleasure. Lovers of pleasure. Who are we called to please? The Lord. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Jake, you know it so well. What does it say?
Without faith, you cannot please the Lord.
Without faith, you cannot please the Lord. Mm-hmm. Come on. You got it right. I knew you knew it because He just quotes it to me all the time. But when you get a mic in your face when you're not expecting, it's like, whoa. Hebrews 11 verse 6, and it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. It says, for He rewards those who earnestly, those who draw near to Him, those who believe that He exists. So He is the only one we're to please. It starts with him. You look at Paul's journey in the Bible, he was not worried about pleasing nobody. But the thing is, we can't use that as an excuse. Oh, I don't care. I'm not here to please nobody. I'm just going for God. If you're going for God and you're walking in his love, you please him. His pleasure is all over you, and it flows into loving other people. So you're not going to then hurt people in the name of, I'm pleasing God. Lovers of pleasure. We're to please God, not man. Verse 3 to 4 says, these people that are lovers of pleasure, they are heartless. We can be heartless without thought, being all about ourselves, without feelings. It says unappeasable. To be unappeasable is to be irreconcilable, to be unforgiving. When you're in a situation like, nah, I'm not going to forgive them. Nah, not happening. Where hearts are so hardened. It says they're slanderous. Slanderous is talking behind people's backs. We all know what that's like. We've done it before. Gossip. Slanderous, malicious talk. It talks about being treacherous. Treacherous being betraying people. This is what is happening in the last days. Reckless. Reckless. Swollen with conceit. It's puffed up with pride, being full of pride. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure. So these are the things we're to look out for in the last days, where we're at. You can actually see when you read this that what Paul's talking about is not just about the last days, 3,000 years later, because in verse 6, he actually says, for among them are those who creep into households. He's saying for among them, talking about their situations. It's a now thing. If it was a now thing then, imagine how much it's a now thing today. And it says they have the appearance of godliness. They look godly. They will quote the scripture. They will talk about the word. But it says they deny its power. They might not deny its power by how they look or how they act, because they can actually look godly, but there's no fruit in their lives. There's no Holy Spirit fruit in their lives. There's no inner transformation. See, when you know God's love, when you get into his word, it's there to transform you. It's there to renew you. Lovers of pleasure. What happens to those people then who choose God above all else? Because he goes on to talk about, hey, Timothy, however you know God's word. You've seen my example. You've known God's word, his sacred writings from a young age. He starts to talk to him about, and as he talks about godly people, people that want to be with God, people that love God, people that are going for God, he actually says in verse 12 that those that choose God above everything else, he says, they'll be persecuted. How cool is that? Not very cool. See, when we stand up for the Lord, when we stand up for the word, we will be persecuted. We will suffer. Think about the person you love. You will suffer for them. You will do anything for them. So suffering comes. Suffering will come. Some of us are going through suffering right now. It could be sickness. It could be work situations. It could be betrayals. We go through suffering. But what I love that he says is that God actually rescued him. In verse 11, he says, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. God rescues. You're not going to suffer forever. I'm not trying to downplay, but I'm just saying stick with God. Stick with God in your suffering. Look to him. Stop looking to yourself. Stop looking to your situation. Just give it to him. Lord, I'm here. I'm stuck. This is messed up. Where to from now? Speak to me, Lord. And he's going to take you through that. He's going to grow you through that. The word says he will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. He will always give you a way out. So you got to stick with him. Lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, what do you love? What happens to those people in the last days that are lovers of self and lovers of pleasure. What happens to the imposters, to the evil people? It says in verse 13 that they're only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. Verse 13, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving each other and being deceived. So you'll do anything for what you love and for those you love. But this love, whatever it is you love, people, ministry, church, your children, your work, whatever it is you love actually needs to be anchored in God's love. Because if it's not anchored in His love, it becomes reckless. It becomes reckless and it does not have God above all, which is His rightful place. So how can we have our love anchored in God's love? Two things today we're going to contrast with being lovers of self and lovers of pleasure. The first one is lovers of the word. Lovers of the word. I told you, my Bible. You don't have to keep singing it. But lovers of the word. We are to love the word. We are to get the word into us. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. David said that in Psalm 119, verse 11 or 18. I always get the two confused. But you got to love. I've got to love the word and get it into myself. Those who love the word of God will not be moved. They will not be shaken by anything else other than the word, other than the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're carnal. We have a carnal part to us and we will get a bit shaken. But as soon as you just remember what the Lord has said, what He has done before, you stand on the word, and His word is life. Lovers of the word. We're to be lovers of the word. How else will the lover of our soul speak to us if we don't actually read His word? Open it. Highlight it. Write in it. How else is He going to speak to us if we don't actually read it and actually ask Him, Lord, open my eyes, open my ears so that I may hear what You're saying. We're to be lovers of the word. Otherwise, we're just going with what the world is saying and what's happening in the world. And the world is always changing. It's confusing. We need to anchor ourselves in the word and God will reveal Himself. See, the word, the Bible, is the primary way God speaks to us. It is spoken word expressed in written form. The writers that wrote the different parts of the word, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So God speaks to us primarily through the word. This is how we hear His voice. Lovers of the word will wrestle with the word. They will grapple with the word. Lovers of the word will live by the word. They will live out the word. They will practice the word. Matthew 4 verse 4, Holy Toast says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. Come on. Matthew 4 verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. This is how we're to live. The scripture that we just read, verse 16 and 17 says, All scripture is breathed out by God. Where is it, Tim? All scripture is breathed out by God. It says it is useful for correcting, for reproof, for rebuke, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, God breathed out His word. If He is your lover, let Him breathe that word into you. Be intimate with the Father. He wants to breathe His words into you so that you can breathe out the word in how you think, in how you act, in your conduct, in your mannerisms, in your decisions, in all that you do. We're to live by the word, live by the spirit, full of the word, full of the spirit. The word is to change us. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed any longer by the patterns of this world. Don't be conformed any longer by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind so that you may be able to test and approve God's perfect and pleasing will. He's given us His will right here. We're to love, love His word. We're to spend time in His word. It does not have to be a chore. Just start wherever you're at. But I just know God wants us to be addicted to His word. Literally addicted. I just can't do anything else. Oh, I need more time in the word. I'm not saying that's me. I'm saying that's what He wants us to be. I want to get to that place where I'm like, whoa, I haven't read the word today. I just need to get in the word. I just want to be able to memorize scripture that wherever I am, even on my runs, I'm just like quoting scripture. I just want it to come out of me that when I'm speaking, people are like, where do you get that stuff from? Like, ah, let me tell you about it. Lovers of the word. See, lovers of the word are actually lovers of God. So we talked about lovers of self. Ian, if you could come up. We talked about lovers of self. We talked about lovers of pleasure. We talked about lovers of the word. Lovers of the word are actually to be lovers of God. John 1 verse 1 to 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. We need the Word. We want to see His fruit in our lives. We need the Word. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, stay connected to me. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, if my word, come on, the Bible, if it remains in you, He says, you will bear much fruit. I don't know what you love, who you love, but He is the lover of our souls. All the good things that you want, He's like, son, daughter, I got that sorted. But you're missing something. Are you hungry for my word? It's not to condemn anyone. It's an invitation to love the right thing first, to love the right one first, to be lovers of the word, to be lovers of God. Not only is God the word, not only is Jesus the word, but God actually is love. What do you love? God is love. 1 John 4 verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. So we're to be lovers of God. Our greatest call is to be lovers of God. Matthew 22, 37, I mentioned before, greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is our call, to love God, because He loved us first. And as we love Him, we only love Him because He loved us first. We actually get to give that love freely. Is there anyone you've been holding His love back from? Is there people in your life you're struggling to love just because of how they are and what they've done? Go back to the Father. Talk to Him about His love. His love is agape love. It's unconditional. I'm not saying have people walk all over you. Go to God and ask Him how. Lord, how do you want me to show your love? Can we all stand? See, lovers of God are not selfish. They're not self-centered. They're not arrogant. They're not proud. They're not lovers of pleasure. Lovers of God are not lovers of money. Lovers of God have a revelation of who God is. He's a loving Father. He is love. Lovers of God receive His love freely and give it freely. We are to use things, not love things. We're to use things and not love things. We're to love people, not use people. Lord, forgive us for the times we've used people just to get the things. We are to love people and use things. What is it that drives you daily? What is it that motivates you daily? What compels you daily? It is to be the things of this world? No. It needs to be God's love that motivates us daily. His love. So if you love God, if He's your lover, let Him breathe on you. Let His breath, His word fill you up. Take it in. How are the things that you love, the things that I love, different from what people in the world love? Think about that for a moment. How are the things that I love different from what people without God love? Because in these last days, there will be a people who will love themselves above all else. And we don't want to be that. We want to be people that love the Word, people that love His presence, people that love to see people saved, people that love the Holy Spirit, people that love to see people set free, people that love God. So we're to stay in the Word. Let's be a people that stay in the Word, a people that stay in His love, a people that are vulnerable before the Lord, where the Lord can do heart surgery. When you open up the Word, God actually wants to do surgery on our heart. Let's let the Word read us. Let's not read what we want into the Word. Just stay in the Word, stay in His love. Our Lord loves you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. His words will never pass away.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.